The Walking Dead season premiere is over, but we're just getting started. Josh, frickin' Negan stole our line.
Yeah, I can't believe that you just outed me as Josh freaking Negan. I've been trying to keep my identity, my true name, under wraps on the internet for years, and you just ousted me like that. That was terrible. Yes. Put me on blast.
Right. And now here are the two guys that are going to make a bunch of other bad puns. I'm Rob Sestrini. Here's Josh Wiggler. Josh freaking Wiggler. Josh, wow, we know the answer now.
I guess. Yeah, we do. Oh, yay. Are we supposed to celebrate? Is that like appropriate? I mean, two people just got their heads bashed in. Are we supposed to be like, yay, The Walking Dead? That's great. Hooray. Or are we supposed to be like, ooh, this is awkward and uncomfortable?
We are supposed to be like, yes, hooray. This show that we're supposed to like is back and they're not real people. So I think it's fine if this is a show that we like, to be happy about a very Walking Dead thing that happened on a show that we are supposed to be fans of.
Hey, if that's what Negan wants me to do, I'll do it. Like, I will do whatever Negan wants me to do. I will say whatever Negan wants me to say. I will, you know, I will sing The Walking Dead's praises to high heaven if that's what Negan wants me to do. As long as I'm not going to get hit by a baseball bat, and as long as I don't have to cut anybody's arm off, I will praise Walking Dead all day if that's what Negan wants.
Yeah, and I thought this was a really, you're on the edge of your seat the entire way through here. A lot of thrills, a lot of drama here in The Walking Dead season premiere. We're here to recap it as well. I thought it was first 20 minutes, thought we were pretty soft 20 minutes.
Soft serve first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just like a little bit of like the chocolate vanilla swirl going on. Yeah, it was going a little slow at the start. Really took us a little bit to actually figure out who's getting hit by Negan. Curious choice.
Yes.
Curious decision. Dubious
yes.
choice.
So, but then once it got going, It got real, Josh.
It got real. People died. Certainly people of consequence died. I'm glad that, I mean, spoiler alert, if you're, for some reason you have not seen
the
episode.
What are you doing?
You know, you should not be tuning into this. You should not be watching. You should not be listening. Just go away until you've seen the episode. They killed people of consequence. That's great. They didn't just like go for the easy out and kill Aaron and Rosita or anything like that. Abraham's a main character. Glenn is an incredibly main character. Those are two huge losses for the show. No two ways about it. Did they complicate it a little bit? I kind of think so. Did they drag it out a lot? I definitely think so. So there's things that I like about it. There's things that I really don't like about it. We'll pick it apart. We'll talk it through. I think that Walking Dead entered tonight in a no-win situation anyway. I think that's just the position the Walking Dead was in. So if you walked away from it liking the episode, good for you. If you walked away from it unimpressed by some stuff, I think that that's the reaction that people were destined to have no matter what.
Okay, well, so we'll talk it through here tonight live. Hashtag PS recaps. Alex Kidwell is standing by. We're going to take your questions here for our Walking Dead show. Of course, this is the first of our weekly recaps of The Walking Dead. We'll also have weekly voicemail feedback shows where we take questions from you guys. If you want to get all of those shows, you can subscribe to The Walking Dead podcast for completely free, Josh.
Totally free, no cost whatsoever, no two heads that need to be sacrificed before you can listen to this podcast.
That's right. That's right. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes, postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes to subscribe, or feel free to leave us feedback and star ratings as well. Go for it while you're there. All right. So, Josh, I thought that this was very exciting. I was worried that
you're high on it. You're high on this.
I'm
you're walking away
it.
From this episode of Walking Dead. And you're pretty into it. You're feeling good.
I really was, just because I felt like that this was a action packed, suspenseful. I was on the edge of my seat. And the reason why I liked it was because The Walking Dead, I feel like at its heart, is a horror movie. And you're sitting there, and yes, this was graphic, and you could certainly argue the case was that this was maybe more graphic than you needed to see, but I do feel like that's a little nitpicky in terms of you got into this show because you wanted to see zombies and gross stuff and people get murdered.
Right.
And, you know, I think that this episode delivered on that for once. I mean, I can't be of the world of saying like, hey, nothing happens on this show. And
sure.
then finally have an episode where after 20 minutes, stuff started happening on this show. I can't complain about that.
Yeah, I mean, it really does take a minute to get into it. I think that I'm not going to argue you on the brutality point. I think that is the show that you're signed up for. I think you are signed up for The Walking Dead being a gore fest. This is, you know, the premise is the zombie movie that never ends. This is based on, you know, horror movie tropes. You know that you're going to get into a very, very nasty, violent show. And sometimes that's going to be inflicted not just in terms of gross walkers that are going to come your way, but some of the people that you like are going to die, and they're going to die in unpleasant ways. This is the world that they live in. I'm fine with that. I do wonder, you know, like, I'm still, was the juice worth the squeeze on the cliffhanger, like really extending that cliffhanger off, you know, several months? How much did people care when they came back? How much were people thinking about it in the off season? And then finally, I think some excitement is building to this episode where it's like, okay, finally, we're going to get the answer, whether or not you were thinking about it all summer long or not. And then you get into the episode and it takes 20 minutes to get there. Like, it just feels like it really is extending it. And then I think also waiting so long to get to the Glenn aspect of it. You know, first we're killing Abraham, and then the scene is really stretching out and really playing out. And Glenn almost feels like an afterthought to me. So I think that it's more a question of timing for me. That was my biggest issue, that it felt really, really stretched out. Like they were, you know, there was great ideas in this episode for sure. But really, I think pacing wise was not a strong point, the pacing.
Yeah, I think there's a legitimate question to ask of what did they know about what they were going to do and when? Because I really think that you could have made a strong case as to, you know, if you killed Abraham in the season finale and then you killed Glenn in the season premiere, I think that that would have been fine. I don't think you would have gained or lost any viewership. And I think that it would have probably satiated the appetite of the view of the fan base a bit more in terms of that. I really don't know. I mean, it seems to me like there's a disconnect between the Walking Dead fans that I see on Twitter and that I interact with in real life, and the people that they seem to talk about. And I heard from somebody like this on Twitter today where it's like, I love all these people. I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to die.
Right.
I don't want anything bad to happen to them. I just
want
everybody to be okay.
Someone reached out to you and I to be like, why do you guys not want it to be Rosita? Don't you want it to be someone inconsequential? And that perplexes me. Like, I want it to matter. Why am I watching a show if it's not going to matter? I don't want to watch a show that isn't going to have stakes. I want a show that's going to have some stakes and going to have some teeth. And at least in that regard, I do think The Walking Dead pulled the trigger. Certainly on Glenn, I think, is the right person, because I think that's going to be the most emotional fallout from that. And Abraham certainly triggers a certain section of this group as well. So those are two really sizable characters that they killed off. And I applaud The Walking Dead for at least answering this month's long cliffhanger with a pretty heavy response by really taking power players off the map. That being said, I do think that, like, if you spent your summer painstakingly analyzing the season 6 finale of The Walking Dead, I don't know, Rob, maybe developing theories about the perspective, the point of view that we're seeing in the van throughout the season 6 finale, and that paying off in terms of being the victim of Negan's eventual loose ceiling. If you were spending a lot of time obsessing about that, focusing on that, giving the show some credit, perhaps, I think that you were not rewarded. I think that the way that Abraham is knocked off, and I think that the way that they go about killing Glenn off, I think a lot of, like, the theories about why this would happen, how this would happen, I think that they were pretty debunked. And to me, the question of what you said, like, how long did they know about what they were going to do? How much did they know that, like, these were the characters they were going to kill off? How much did they know that they were going to kill two characters off? I don't have a lot of faith that they had the answer going into that finale anymore. I think that the way that it played out here in the premiere suggests to me that this was thought about in between seasons. And I don't love that. I don't think that that's great. I'm glad that that two power players were killed off, because I think that that has emotional stakes for the characters who are still alive moving forward. But it feels like it was like, all right, so what should we do now? It felt like it was a decision that was made after season 6. And I think going into that finale, going into that cliffhanger, you had to know what you were going to do. And I don't see any evidence that they knew what they were going to do.
Yeah. I mean, that I definitely understand where you're coming from for that, but I think that's probably a factor. Like, I think 99% of the people that watch the show, I don't think that that's necessarily a concern that they were worried about in terms of people that went back and tried to watch it. And if they were, I think that they're sort of like distracted by what went on tonight. So I don't think that ultimately it's something that hurts the show.
Sure, maybe you're right, but I think that it's a testament to the writing of the show. And I think it's a testament to, like, throwing a lot of shit at the wall. Excuse my French. I hope that you're going to take the heat for all of my vulgar language tonight as it's raining F-bombs here in the Walking Dead post-show recap. I think that there's maybe something alarming. Not that this is necessarily news, but for me, a little bit of confirmation of, I think there's an element of just, like, throwing something at the wall, seeing if it sticks, to the writing of this show. I think that The Walking Dead is a fantastically produced show. I think for the most part, it's a fantastically acted show. It's a really well-made show by the people who are in the trenches there in Atlanta. And I don't know if it's necessarily always the best written show. And for me, I think that there's a little bit of a sloppiness to the resolution of the cliffhanger that does suggest that. That really speaks to that idea of that sometimes this isn't the tightest ship. And maybe that's not what people are tuning into The Walking Dead for, and that's fine. There's other things to enjoy about The Walking Dead, and this show does, you know, grandeur, you know, this epic scale, the way that few other shows really do. But if you're really coming in here for, like, an insightful story, I don't know that this, I don't know. Sometimes the show doesn't feel like it really brings it. And this the resolution of the cliffhanger really spoke to that to me.
I mean, sometimes they deliver on that, other times that they don't. But I do feel like that what they did, deal with was a criticism which I had levied against this show in the past, that they did not have the cojones at times to make a big move like this. And when they kill Abraham, then you say, wow, that was pretty brutal. But then when they add Glenn on top of it, I do feel as though that, I mean, this was a meaningful death in this world, and one that they're not going to the point where Abraham is almost, like, forgotten about. At that point, I mean,
doesn't that kind of suck? Doesn't it suck that it's sort of just Abraham is an afterthought?
I mean, I guess think, so.
Like, not just like an afterthought in terms of, you know, how much are we going to, like, really? I think that most people are probably ripped up about Glenn than they are about Abraham, but also an afterthought, I think, in the writing. Like, when you go back and you look at that season 6 finale, and it's from the perspective of Abraham, we now know, and Negan's clubbing his brains in and everything like that. Does Abraham get a word out in that, in that final episode? Does he tell Negan to suck on anything? You don't hear any of, like, Abraham's final words there, and then it's kind of shoehorned in here. And that just shows me that it was, like, this was a decision that was made after the fact. I liked it. I thought it was good, but I feel like for the internal coherence of the show, I feel like maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be so hung up on that. I think it's a good final note for Abraham. I'm glad he gets a one-liner out. But I just kind of feel like you're right. I think that he will be forgotten. I think Glenn would have been enough. I think that one death would have been enough if it was the right death. Glenn is certainly a right death. And adding Abraham into the mix is definitely enhancing the danger of Negan. We've now lost two really, you know, great characters on the show, people who meant a lot to the people who are still alive. But it just feels, I don't know, it feels a little tacked on.
Josh, I know that you had written some pieces about the premiere for The Hollywood Reporter. What did you end up writing tonight?
I've been writing a lot about, I wrote a lot about how death on The Walking Dead is very different. And in terms of the show and the comics, there's a lot that mirrors each other. You know, general structure of the story, it's pretty similar. A lot of the time, the visuals, you know, it looks like a Charlie Adlard illustration coming to life when you are watching an episode of Walking Dead with certain characters, but deaths really do tend to change. You can count the instances of main character deaths that are actually similar in the comics and on the show that are pretty much note for note on the same hand, pretty much. And I wrote about how Glenn comes close, you know, the Glenn death, and this is, you know, getting into comic book territory a little bit. It's close, but not quite. And Walking Dead has always sort of walked this line of adapting the comic very faithfully, but sometimes, really in the case of deaths mostly, it really does take this remix approach. So this Negan moment, a lot of fans of the comics were really anticipating. It's an iconic moment from the comics. We now know that Glenn is dead on the show. This is also how he goes out in the comics, so a lot of people were really expecting that. But even there, with this sort of iconic, brutal moment, it gets the remix approach as well. So dug into that a little bit tonight on The Hollywood Reporter.
What were the words that Glenn said in the midst of the bat shots from Negan?
He was channeling his inner Daniel Day-Lewis circa Last of the Mohicans, and he wasn't in a cave trapped behind a waterfall with Madeline Stowe, but he was shouting to Maggie all the same, "I will find you!" So those are his final words. I will find you in this life or the next, Rob. They are going to reunite. That is what Glenn is promising with his final words. I will find you, Maggie.
You know, Josh,
it's
in this episode,
it's gonna be difficult with the one eye. That's gonna be tough.
Hey, come on. Have some respect.
Have some respect, Josh.
You know, I have an eye phobia, so I just have to like make light of it. Otherwise, I'm gonna get.
But it's interesting that this episode had something very peculiar, almost like we had something similar on Mr. Robot this season, where we had some sort of like a dream sequence where we had like a big lunch with everybody living happily ever after.
Sunday dinner. It's not lunch. This is supper, man.
Yeah. Well, you have it's early dinner on Sunday. But
sure,
Josh, that what was this a flash sideways? What was we've never seen anything like this on The Walking Dead. What was that scene where we saw this happy ending with everybody having Sunday dinner together?
So is The Walking Dead going to end in Father Gabriel's church?
Purgatory. It's purgatory.
And everyone is going to be bathed in white light. I don't think that that's right. I think that the show has done a lot like this in the past. Thinking back to Tyrese's death and like all of the visions that he's seeing and the governor pay the bill and Lizzie and Mika are there and Beth is there and Bob is there. And it's this happily ever after that he is envisioning. And even like Rick seeing visions of Lori back in season 3. Or even when he hallucinated Shane for a hot second in season 3. Walking Dead does love to play with like these ghost stories. Mm-hmm. Like there is an element of that that's at play in Walking Dead. It's, you know, maybe a little sappy, maybe a little overly sentimental for some. But it's definitely something that they've done. And I think it was really just, you know, a sign of Rick, who's so dizzied by everything that's just happened. He's been completely psychologically broken by Negan. And he is envisioning the Sunday dinner that he thought he was going to have. That's
where
how inside
was Deanna. Why wasn't she serving the sorghum?
The sorghum, the wheat, grain. That would
I
have
made
been
a casserole.
That would have been fantastic. And also would have been great if Herschel had been there to serve some spaghetti. That yeah,
where
would have been
was
nice.
Dale?
And the spaghetti could have been made of grain as well.
Yeah.
And wheat and sorghum. Where was Dale? Where were all of these people?
Where was Noah?
You know, how quickly you forget everyone else who has died. They're not invited to Sunday dinner.
No, but make sure Aaron is there.
Aaron's there. Well, we know that Aaron and his husband have the pasta maker, so they need to be invited. Okay. They have to be there. You know what? I think it was like it's on here so that your final visual image of Steven Yeun and Michael Cudlitz on the show are not just like bodies without heads.
Got it.
I think like to give them a little bit of a clean break from the show.
Yeah. And very valid response to my point of what's going on there. So then, Josh, after everything that had happened here in this episode, talk me through the scene with Carl and Negan wants Rick to cut Carl's arm off with the hatchet. Did you think they were going to do that?
No, I think that killing two characters was enough at that point. I didn't think so. At that point, I actually was starting to wonder, like, now can they just kill an Abraham or an Aaron or Rosita? You know, like, can we now just like kill off just like kind of a random side character? But I think like hacking off Carl's arm was too much at that point for me a little bit. I think having Rick do that, Rick having already dealt with so much, it's just like one extra thing to throw at him. I don't know if he needed it.
Well, how safe did you feel? Like, give me your confidence that they were not going to cut off Carl's arm in that moment.
I was pretty confident. I don't think that, you know, they're shooting his eye out and cutting his arm off. And like, think about like the VFX budget that's going to be needed to like hide Carl, not just like Carl's hand, which would be a different story. And there would be, you know, a little bit of like remixing comic book precedent for somebody losing a hand, but to lose like an arm from the forearm up, like, I don't know, man. Like, that's going to be hard to cover up. Greg Nicotero is a genius, but I don't know if he's going to be able to make that look believable on Carl. I would feel very bad for Chandler Riggs. I would hope that they would put more pudding into his contract if that were the case.
Josh, but look, we've come so far. 5 years ago, how many TV characters were having appendages cut off? Now, we are in the golden age of amputation on peak TV.
Peak amputation. I love it. I think that this is where we need to be. As a society in 2016, it seems like we're getting the television we deserve.
Yeah, I did think that they were going to go there only because that the line that Negan says to Rick at the start of the episode, it was so heavy handed, Josh, how they dealt with like oh, who, you know, that guy, that's my right hand man. You have one of those? You always need one of those. You can't be without one of those. And that just
what would you do without a right hand, Rob? Things would be very difficult for you.
You better believe it, Josh.
Yeah. And hand of the podcaster.
Yeah. And so that they were really, you know, shining such a light on that idea of getting a hand cut off. And then I thought that they were sort of going to go back to it here and then have that be a plot point. And there was so much focus on the hatchet throughout everything. Like, find my hatchet.
It's an axe, Rob. We're talking Negan vocabulary now. We got to talk in Negan language.
They never called it a hatchet? The only axe?
It's an axe. It started as a hatchet. It's, you know, that's what Simon says. He says it's a hatchet, and then Negan says a hatchet. So he wants to call it an axe from now on. So it's okay. An axe.
All right.
That's what Negan says. We gotta follow Negan's rules here.
That's fine. And so, find my axe. And I thought that there was
my axe.
You'll have my axe.
Yes.
And I thought that there was so much of a focus on it that it was going to be a bit of a MacGuffin here. But ultimately,
Chekhov's hatchet. Chekhov's axe.
Well, it was also Chekhov's hangman in this episode, where we saw in part one of the finale, going back to the season six finale, where that guy was hanging off the bridge. Then that guy ended up being a part of the season seven premiere.
Did you know that that guy's name was Stretch Armstrong?
No, I did not.
According to The Talking Dead, when they did the In Memoriam tribute for all of the walkers that Rick had to fight during the search for the axe, they called that guy the Stretch Armstrong Walker. So I guess that man was Stretch Armstrong. He survived in the zombie apocalypse for a little while.
Can we just talk Talking Dead for a moment?
Yeah, very quickly before we do, back to the hatchet very quickly. We have precedent for Rick on the show, like telling somebody, I'm going to kill you. Back in the Terminus days, you remember this? He says to Gareth, I'm going to kill you. I've got a machete in the woods. It's got a red handle. I'm going to use it to kill you. And then he followed through on it like two episodes later. He makes good on it. Rick is good on a promise when he tells somebody he kills them. Now that Rick has said that on the show and with the focus on the hatchet, two-parter, do you think that Rick will make good on killing Negan eventually? And if so, do you think the hatchet will be involved? Is this Chekhov's hatchet? Is this going to pay off later on down the line?
Well, I think there's zero doubt that Rick will kill Negan at some point. I mean, I feel like that's the only logical way that this Negan storyline can end, whether it's in, you know, the season finale or in four seasons from now or 40 seasons from now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, Rick eventually kills Negan. What the weapon is, I think that tonight was a great reminder that I don't know if you can necessarily, you know, hang a lantern on that, you know, hatchet and then expect like 2 years, seasons from now, they're going to remember that detail.
I'll never forget the hatchet.
You'll never forget the hatchet.
I'll never forget the axe. I'm on axe patrol for the rest of
You're
my life.
You're on axe patrol, Josh.
This is my lot in life. I will be watching the axe of the Walking Dead for the remainder of my days.
Yeah, you watch it.
It is my blessing. It is my curse.
Okay. Can I?
Yeah, you want to talk Talking Dead?
You've seen that there were things about the episode that bothered you. I didn't get mad until I watched The Talking Dead, Josh.
What was your problem? That nobody in Los Angeles can handle a little bit of rain as like a New Yorker? I know that you're still a New Yorker at heart. Did that really bother you?
It did not. Josh, that I get annoyed with The Talking Dead. And you know that I love The Talking Dead because I feel like that the key to The Talking Dead should be like a party about this show. It should be like a bunch of people like, you know, having some drinks and having fun, you know, talking about what we just watched.
Did that not happen on this Talking Dead? I mean, Michael Cudlitz was taking some pulls off of a flask. He was puffing cigars. That man has no chill. He's just chilling out.
That's fine. I disagree with the tone of acting like somebody died. There are plenty of things in this world to be sad and depressed about. TV shows are not one of them. And so I feel like, am I allowed to express enjoyment of, like, if I watch the show that's The Walking Dead about zombies and killing people, and then when that happens on the show, shouldn't I be excited? Like, wow, the show that did what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I hear that for sure. I think that there's a couple of things here that are kind of interesting to me. And one of them is, I think another way that I think that this cliffhanger may have been a miscalculation, may have been, let me just put that out there as a possibility that the cliffhanger was a miscalculation, is I think that there's this expectation of like, who done it? You know, there's a who done it quality, like who got done did, as Jessica Lease and I coined back during our Walking Dead book club podcast. It's like, who did this happen to? And that should be exciting to some degree. But I think when you're coming back and you're building up all this anticipation and excitement for a huge, huge moment that is supposed to be like a big, like literally and figuratively, you know, brain busting type of moment that's really supposed to blow your mind. And then it ends up being, you know, two characters that you are attached to on the show are now suddenly gone in very head on, dramatically graphic fashion, like really, really disgusting. Like, do you feel weird about celebrating that? Like, do you feel super pumped up? Do you feel a little bit icky? I think like the idea of like building up to this premiere that's supposed to be sort of this like big raucous occasion with at least one character who we've known from the very beginning of this entire show, and then another character who burst in with a lot of color back in season four. Like, are you supposed to be pumped about this? Are you supposed to be psyched about this? And I think that the tone of The Talking Dead may be a little bit more mournful than, you know, really, really does matter in terms of the grand scheme of life. But I think it's hard to be remarkably joyful about what happened on the show.
Joyful is the wrong word. But I do feel like that the tone, and you cover Game of Thrones extremely closely. And
sure.
And, you know, you and I have come on after many a Game of Thrones episode and where people have died. And I don't know if the right tone is sad news to report at this hour. Glenn, our beloved Glenn, is no longer with us. It's very sad. You know, it's Steven Yeun did not die. Like, everything is fine. This is a TV show. These are not real people. But I think it's like, oh, my God. Like, no, I can't believe it. They got Glenn. Oh, no. Right. Oh, no. Abraham, too. Are you kidding me? Oh, no. I mean, I think that's fine. But right. It's just like, don't like there. It is. You are like the real things that there are to be sad about. You are insulting them by saying that this is something that we should actually be sad about.
I don't know that I fully agree with it. I think that stories are meant to be invested in. And I think that stories, when they're really, really good, are going to really envelop you. And I do totally agree with you that the world can be a really awful place. And it could certainly be a pretty awful place right now. And I think that when you're pouring yourself into something to distract you from how awful everything is, or how awful things can be, at least, I think that you, if art really pulls you in, it's going to really pull you in, and it is going to really matter to you. And I think especially for people who are, you know, going to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery and waiting all day and making a real meal out of it and making, you know, a real show of their fandom, they're going to be invested in these characters. And if a story is being told really, really well, if a story is being told really well by not just the writing, but by the actors, by the crew members, by the makeup people, they're going to make you care. They're going to make you really upset when they take two fan favorite players off the board. So I kind of reject the notion that you shouldn't be bummed out about the loss of Glenn. If we've spent, you know, six full seasons going into seven seasons now of investment in a story like The Walking Dead, and we're not at least a little bit bummed out about losing some characters, I think that's a mark of failure on the show. And I think for all the things that I do have criticisms against the show about, people do really care about these characters. So I buy into feeling however you want to feel about this. You can, you know, you can find it energetic and you can find it cool in the show. But I think that people do find meaning in characters and stories. And
I'm not saying
great.
That people can't feel any way that they want to feel, but I just don't think that the after show should treat it like a real funeral, like an actual person actually died.
You think like the after show should have like as soon as like the lights go up and we're now in Talking Dead mode, that like pinatas of Glenn and Abraham's heads should like shoot down from the rafters. It's like, oh, there's candy in there, everybody have fun and we're gonna have a good time. Like, something more electric. It's more electric than what they did.
It's a TV show. It's a recreational activity, and we should be sort of having fun with this idea of like, oh my God, I can't believe what they did Glenn that way. How could you, Negan? We hate you, Negan. I just think that it was too heavy-handed overall.
All right. Well, you know, I hear that, and I have disagreements, but I hear what you're saying. Let's get back on the show itself. What do you make of the fact that Glenn is only killed because Abraham is killed and Negan is taunting Rosita, and Daryl is very offended by Negan taunting Rosita. So he stands up, he punches Negan in the face. Negan needs to make another example of this these people. He chooses not to club Daryl's brains in, but to smash Glenn's head in just completely kind of randomly, arbitrarily, because Glenn is the person he's closest to. What do you think about the way that Glenn goes and Daryl's culpability in this? Should Daryl be blaming himself for the death of Glenn Reed?
Yeah, hey, stupid Daryl, that Abraham was dating Sasha, not even Rosita.
I know.
She didn't even care. She was over him.
If Daryl had better social game, like, he'd be more plugged in. So what's going on in Alexandria? He didn't know the gossip. That's what happens when Carol leaves and Carol is his number one source.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I definitely think that people might see that Daryl, it was his fault, but I don't think anybody's going to hold it against him. I don't think the viewers will. I don't think that anybody in the Rick's gang is going to.
If Walking Dead couldn't kill Daryl off, if they couldn't kill Norman Reedus, is it the next best thing? Like, you kill his reputation a little bit, like, you make him feel bad for what he did to Glenn. Like, you have to take him down a peg or two.
Why? Why do they take him down a peg?
You know what? That's also a great question. Why do they have to take Daryl down a peg or two? Why do they have to complicate things by having Daryl stand up and now Glenn is suddenly getting killed as a side effect? That's a fantastic question that I don't have a great answer to, Rob.
So you feel like that it would have been better if Glenn would have been the person to stand up and take a shot at Negan? Should he have taken a poke at Negan?
I don't know that anyone needed to take a shot at Negan. I think that it would have been fine to just kill Glenn. I think Abraham could have survived the night and I would have been a happier man. But what are you going to do? I think Daryl standing up and punching out Negan and Glenn paying the price, it just feels a little convoluted, and I'm not sure that I'm really following the emotional thread. And what's the real benefit of throwing that onto Daryl, as if the dude doesn't need enough?
Yeah.
You know, he needs another thing to feel bad about. Come on.
Let me ask you a question about Maggie and the pregnancy.
Amazing that Maggie is able to be like conscious for all of this into the morning hours, witnesses her husband get his brains bashed in, is already having this awful emergency with her pregnancy, and is the first person to stand up in the entire group. I think that, you know, kudos to Maggie for showing some true stamina in this episode.
Kudos to Maggie. So you feel like that they were just going to resume the Maggie pregnancy storyline and the baby's going to be fine, just going to carry the baby to term and we'll have a Maggie baby?
Full terminus. Hey, she stood up. She seems okay. She seems like, you know, she's still in kind of rough shape. But are they going to do that? Like, are they going to kill Glenn and then, like, the very next thing, Maggie's also going to lose her baby?
Josh, but the whole point of, I don't even play one on a podcast, but the whole point of why they had to all leave was, this is an emergency. We need to get Maggie over to Hilltop so that they could do an ultrasound.
Right.
And then see what's going on with the baby. She was doubled over in pain. They were carrying her on a stretcher when we went into the cliffhanger, that this was just like a miraculously, like, false alarm, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's kind of ridiculous that Maggie is able to kind of survive this night as well as she has. I mean, kudos to Maggie again for being so strong and having the stamina that she does. But I thought that was stretching it a little bit for me.
I'm going to ask my wife about this as a nurse. I'm going to ask her about what's going on there.
I just think that, like, with the gravity of her condition, you know, she was really made to look like they were going to lose her in the RV.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an emergency. And then clearly hours pass in this episode. Glenn and Abraham are killed at night and then it's a daybreak and Maggie's still just hanging out in the circle. Like, Maggie didn't pass out from the combination of her body failing her and also losing the love of her life. All right.
Also,
okay, Walking Dead.
Josh, I know it was pee pants time. Did they have bathroom breaks?
I wonder if they had bathroom breaks or if they just had to go.
I feel like they didn't give them bathroom breaks.
I would guess that there was no bathroom break.
I don't think so.
I think that they were in Pee Pee Pants City. And, okay. You know, there is a reason it's called Pee Pee Pants City.
All right. Let's just talk through one other thing before we get into the questions. So Rick and how ultimately he has to deal with this. We saw Rick at the start of this episode basically telling Negan he's going to kill him. And then basically Rick turned into Negan's subordinate by the end of the episode. Rick is now in middle management. He is now middle the management. Regional manager of Negan Inc.
Assistant to the regional manager. He's really been defeated. Rick's been really crushed. It's a journey to get there by the start of the episode to the end of the episode. I really think it takes getting Rick to the moment where he's willing to cut his kid's own arm off. And once he's there, I think that really does demonstrate to Negan, like, all right, cool, I got you. This is a bad look for Rick. It's not great. And I think that this is a lot of, you know, what was expected here is that's the fallout of a moment like this. I mean, I think that the theme of the season seems to be, and I think a lot of the preseason talk, and as it's starting to bear out here in the premiere, is what is it like to be top dog, leader of the pack, the leader of the pack, and suddenly you wipe out and you are at the back of the pack. And that's Rick's place now. Rick was alpha dog for a very long time, even eight alpha dogs on the road at one point. And he is now being asked to just completely surrender to this guy. And that's not an easy pill for a guy like Rick Grimes to swallow. And he does it by the end of the episode. And I think that it's going to be kind of fascinating to see how long Rick will operate with his tail tucked between his legs. Because you can't imagine it's going to be forever. But are we going to deal with an entire half season of Rick feeling neutered by Negan? Or is he going to, find his cojones, as you said? Is he going to unclip the clipping that Negan did to Rick here? I think that that's going to be the journey of the first half of season 7. And whether or not people have patience to see a defanged Rick for that long, I think is going to be another story. But I think that that's probably what we're looking at with Rick for at least the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think that they should just give Negan what he wants. I think that they should not I mean, okay, give Negan half your stuff. You didn't have that anything great, anything.
The show ends pretty quick at that point. Like, now, like, you're just like, Negan's the boss. It's a reboot. You get everything. But maybe that wouldn't be so bad.
We'll say, okay, Negan, look, have it your way. All right. Half our stuff.
Stuff.
Don't kill anybody else.
Yeah, halvesies does not seem so bad.
You know, if it was on my watch, Glenn and Abraham would still be alive.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, somebody had to die. So Abraham would be dead, but Glenn would be okay.
I guess so. Yeah. Said, sure. Okay, Negan, hold on here. Here, you want whatever you want. You take it. You take it, and I will be your assistant to the regional manager.
You know what's amazing? Michael Cudlitz was like on the press tour, you know, all of these weeks as Abraham, and clearly they had to keep this whole thing under lock and key to preserve the identity of whoever got killed by Negan. Poor Michael Cudlitz has just been like dyeing his hair red and keeping the handlebar mustache all these months, and he hasn't been filming a single scene since May. poor guy. It's a weird life. It's kind of strange to just like. To like have like Abraham facial hair for your entire summer. It's got to be weird.
Let me ask you one other question before we get into the questions. Next week, is it a Morgan and Carol standalone episode, or do you think we could get back into Rick stuff?
I think so, with the added wrinkle of Tabitha the Goat. I think that we're getting our 90-minute Morgan, Carol, and Tabitha the Goat episode next week.
Okay, so what they've been up to. So we don't go back to see Rick for 2 weeks.
I would expect that we will be at the Kingdom next week, and I'm not anticipating a lot of the Rick Grimes gang. No.
Okay. All right.
How's that? What do you feel? How do you feel about that? That's how that,
you know, right? your colleague over at the Hollywood Reporter, Dan Feinberg, had a tweet earlier tonight that was basically like, "Walking Dead's gonna Walking Dead," and a little bit of the fable of the Scorpion. And whatever it is that helped him cross the river.
Right. I feel that way. Walking Dead's gonna Walking Dead. I think that's a good way. It's a good way of looking at it. And I think that it's important to know that that's where we are. And maybe we can go up from there. But Walking Dead is going to Walking Dead. And you know the Walking Dead. You know, when something shows you what it is, believe it the first time. And I think that The Walking Dead has shown you what it is, and whether or not you remain on board with it, it's a personal choice. We will be here. Rob and I will be here.
We'll be here. And I'm going to have fun. We're not going to treat it like so heavy.
It's so heavy.
So heavy. I mean, we're allowed to have fun talking about this show, right?
We can have fun. We're having a great time. I'm having the best time. I'm having a very good time.
Some people, it's like
I just want to say, like, I respect that too. I think that it's okay to have an emotional, visceral response.
Enough
to an
gravitas
episode.
In my
but
life.
You and I, you have a lot of gravitas.
A lot
in
of
other
guilt
areas
already as yes. a Catholic. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. And as a Jew, I also I empathize.
Yeah. What do we need more things to be sad about? Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, so Daryl, drink. Like, Daryl's with us on that.
Yeah. Dan Feinberg said, Walking Dead's gonna Walking Dead, yo, Scorpion and Frog and whatnot. So I think that's the sage words from the great Dan Feinberg.
The great Dan Feinberg. Yeah, he's really great. That's fantastic.
Okay, like let's start. Haiku Fishback says, do we congratulate Josh? His prediction was correct, but his reasoning for said prediction wasn't. You want congratulations tonight?
No, I don't want congratulations for this. I thought that I had a really well-argued reason for why Glenn would die separate from any comic book stuff. Like, I thought that there was, like, good reason for that to work out in terms of, like, the motif of the show, in terms of the storytelling, in terms of the craft, in terms of foreshadowing things, and
it was well thought out
and paying off why you kept seeing that damn point of view in the van. Why did we end up going back to that so often? So no, congratulate me on nothing,
because that's where Rosita was,
I guess. Rob, I suppose. Sure, fine, great, good, grand, wonderful, no yelling on the bus, let's move on.
Okay, Josh, okay. What does Jackie Tomeyer
Jackie,
have to say?
All right, Jackie says, know what their offering is supposed to be? Negan forgot to leave a list. Yeah, that's a good question. Like, how does Rick and everybody, how do they know what they're supposed to give Negan? Is it really just half your shit, and your shit is really kind of just like a very general anything you get?
Yeah.
Or does Negan have specific things that he liked?
No, it's like that they were married to Negan, and then they didn't have a prenup, and now they're divorced, and now Negan just gets half of everything. He doesn't need a list. Even stuff he doesn't want, he still gets half of it.
Half. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, I'm thinking about it. Like, Alexandria was pretty big, and half of Alexandria every single week feels like a lot. It's going to be difficult.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. Let's see Maggie renegotiate that deal.
That's going to be, I don't know if Maggie's back in the negotiator seat anytime soon. I think that she's taking it easy for a little bit. This is from Inessa. Where is Carol? I need a cookie. I also need a cookie. Do you need a cookie, Rob? Will that,
make everything
better?
No, that'll be next week. Next week, we'll talk about Carol and the cookies.
Plenty of cookies. Yeah.
Hug a Tree Mom says, they were there all night, and not until they leave, a zombie comes out. Well, maybe that all Negan's guys were sort of like keeping all the zombies at bay.
Yeah, Negan's staffed up. Negan has a big crew. You know, they pulled that whole game that they played on everybody in the season 6 finale of, like, move the barricade. Like, they were playing a real rigorous game of move the barricade, and that requires some muscle. So I think they must have had enough muscle to have, like, a perimeter of people on Walker to tail. I think that that's okay.
You know,
it's not the least believable thing of the episode.
In that one episode that we had from last season, there was a bunch of ladies that worked for the Saviors, but I didn't see
that's
a
correct.
Lot of women at the, you know, the big meet and greet with Rick's crew. What gives?
That's a good question. That's got to be another thing that we're mad at the Saviors about. They really got to give more equal rights needs to be a thing in the Saviors.
Yeah. Come on, Negan.
Got to get with the times, Neegs. All right. Alex Kidwell says, what was the moment where we officially arrived at the Pee-Pee Pants city limits? I mean, when we're starting to get into, like, Negan does choose Abraham there, and, like, now it's like, sure, like, okay, so Abraham is about to get killed. Like, that's not great. And then, like, kind of the tension that is building up to the Glenn moment with Daryl standing up, and, like, you don't know exactly how Negan is going to answer Daryl's move to punch him in the face. There's tension there as well. I think it really took until that moment to get me to Pee Pee Pants City specifically, but I feel like I was on the city limits at the beginning of the episode.
No, I got to Pee Pee Pants City at the point where they put up, like, the disclaimer on the episode, like, at like 9:20, they came back from commercial and put a disclaimer up. I said, oh boy, oh, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Not great. Cavendish is back.
Oh!
Cavendish has returned. This is great. This is the reason to come back to the Walking Dead podcast, because Cavendish will never leave. Cavendish says, what would Negan serve at Sunday dinner? Sounds like charcuterie, right? Like, he's really seems to be into salami. He's talking about, like, slicing off pieces of people.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, like, you got to cut Carl's arm off like a hunk of salami. I feel like, you know, he's going to be really into the deli meats, this Negan.
Perhaps. It looked
like a really, like, fatty pork products. Watch out for the gout.
Yeah, the Sunday dinner entree looked like spaghetti and meatballs, Josh.
That was Sunday dinner, but what would Negan bring to Sunday dinner?
What would he bring to the Sunday dinner?
Yeah, he's bringing the meat and cheese board.
Okay, I think that's good. He could sort of whack people with that.
yeah, that seems all right. And like he can like wrap a sausage in barbed wire and like he's like, oh, I'm just kidding. It's just I know it's been tense between us. So I just wanted to make a joke.
What'd you think of the Jeffrey Dean Morgan of it all?
I think that he's really good. I think that he's great, actually. I think he's such a good actor. He has some reveries, to borrow some Westworld terminology. He has like these quirks, these little idiosyncrasies about the way he plays Negan, where like Rick says the thing that he says. He says like, I'm going to kill you, not today, not tomorrow, but I am going to kill you. And his reaction as Negan, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, just like sucks in some air. And there's just like something primal and animal in that moment where he's just like, it's like almost like kissing at Rick, which is just like such like an alpha thing to do and really scary. So I think that in terms of like asserting his dominance and showing himself up as the guy who puffs his chest out and is the person in charge here from now on, I thought that he did well. I thought that he did really, really well. I think he needs to speak a little faster. You know, I think that these scenes with
Negan,
he does
Negan, a lot of monologuing, Negan.
You know, and that's great. He's a verbose character. But like when you have as much dialogue as Negan has, like, I don't think that you can afford to take so many dramatic pauses. Otherwise, you know, these scenes are, you know, these episodes are really going to be like three scenes long.
Well, this episode was seven scenes long.
I was tracking as well. I think I generously gave it an 8 or a 9, but it was really, really a few scenes. Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do with Negan really making a meal, really going full ham, not to talk about the charcuterie board anymore. And really, really chewing on that scenery. I don't know. He needs to speed that up. But otherwise, I'm really into it. I do wonder, like, I don't know. We don't even need to get there. It's fine. Let's keep going.
Tom DePlanc, did we really not see anything about where Tara and Heath have been outright?
I know. Incredible. I mean, this had been like the second biggest question in the off season of The Walking Dead. It's like, who did Negan kill? And then where are Tara and Heath? I think that was probably the second most important question.
Well, that's probably going to be the third episode of the season. We'll get the standalone Tara and Heath flashback.
Yeah. And then we'll get back to Rick and company in episode 4 at that point. Or is there another episode 4 that we need to look at, like another sidebar?
Well, what's been going on with Enid?
I mean, look, we're told Enid's in the closet. Now I'm in the closet. Yeah, I think that we're going to get that. Negan
Father
and
Gabriel,
Daryl,
right? Where's he?
Negan and Daryl hanging out.
What's going on back
Xavier
at Alexandria?
Compound.
Yeah.
Do you think that season 7's first half is going to be structured similarly to like season 6, which really was? It was like an episode on a few people at a time, rather than focusing on the larger story, really kind of condensing the view. Do you think that that's what this season's going to look like?
I do, minus the Glenn dumpster business.
Hey, do you want to revisit Glenn's dumpster now that Glenn is dead?
Hold on.
How
you
worth
think
it?
That there's
How
a chance that Glenn could maybe is Glenn dead?
Stop it. Stop this. Stop this. Stop this. Stop that. Stop that. Don't do that.
I'm trying to lighten the mood. We don't have to be so sad.
He's not in a dumpster, down in the dumpsters right now.
Yeah, we'll get a Negan standalone episode somewhere along the line.
I'm into that. I want to see. Yeah, I want to see that.
But it
that
will be
great.
Three parts.
Yeah, it's going to be the second half of the first half of season 7 is going to be the Negan quadrilogy.
Okay. All right. Let's do one or two more questions. This is from Kellyanne. Season 7 could rival season 1 for the best premiere of Walking Dead. Bat to your head. Pick your favorite season premiere and why.
Not even close. It's the season 5 premiere. It's the Terminus dismantling. It's not just the best premiere of The Walking Dead. I think that's in the conversation of the best episodes of the show.
Wow. I don't want to sleep on last season's premiere. I thought that was a really strong episode. It was the black and white episode. And it was the whole thing that really set into motion where like the big horde of walkers started coming after them. So I thought that was a really fun episode, except the problem was there was just too many Alexandria people that we didn't know who they were.
Season 4 premiere with McLovin getting sick at the end and slipping in the shower. No. Not so much.
Not
you know, we can forget about that.
Blue Sky Bob getting drunk.
Oh, those were the days. Oh, where's Blue Sky Bob? Poor Sasha. Oh my God. I mean, can we take a minute to just be like, yikes, poor Sasha. And I thought that Sasha, here's the thing that I really liked about the episode. I loved Sasha standing up and being the first person to like go to Maggie, be like, you're not going alone. I'm going with you. I will take care of you. We will take Glenn and Abraham to the hilltop. She just lost her boyfriend, you know, this new person that she was just starting to explore life with. And maybe feeling, you know, more than just a crush for her. And she watches Abraham go and she keeps it together and she sees what Maggie goes through and she keeps it together and she's holding it down for Maggie. And I really like the Sasha and Maggie relationship, which has some roots back at least in midway through season five, like after the fallout of Beth and that episode on the road where Sasha has also lost Tyrese at this point and Maggie has lost her siblings. So I think that Sasha and Maggie's stories have been running parallel in kind of a cool way. Now that they've both lost their loved ones here. And I'm looking forward to that dynamic. That's one of the relationships on the show I really am looking forward to seeing explored.
Okay, and last question, Josh, from Jackie Tomayer. Is Daryl in for the worst season yet? I'm scared for him.
Yeah, I mean, Dwight is so mad that he hasn't been able to kill Daryl yet. And I understand it because Daryl is destined to kill Dwight at this point. So yeah. Like, the sooner that he can take care of that, that would be good for Dwight. I think, is Daryl in for his worst season yet? It seems like he's probably going to not be having the best time with the Savior. That would be my bet. Yeah.
Yeah. What are they going to do with Daryl when they keep him chained up? It's going to be like a Princess Leia Jabba the Hutt type thing.
Ho, 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 Daryl.
Just keep him chained up on the barge.
Yeah, Salacious Dwight.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him.
If Blue Sky Bob was around, he could be Bob Fortuna.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I get the sense that Negan has like taken like a liking to Daryl.
I think I love that line, too, where I forget what he named Abraham postmortem on Abraham. He came up with like Ray or something.
I think it's Red.
Yeah, maybe Red. I don't know. I liked it better thing that he thought like, I'll call him Ray. Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond.
He's like Flavor Flav. Negan, yeah. He just gives everybody a nickname.
Yeah, that's right. Nick. Yeah. And I like that he named Daryl, like he didn't even have to name Daryl. Like he found out what Daryl's name was, like, oh, that makes sense. That lines up. His name is Daryl. That makes sense. That works for me.
All right. Yeah. So interesting night. I thought this was, back with a bang. I'm very excited to see where this goes in season seven.
I think that there's potential. I think that there's potentials for some of these stories. It didn't quite land with me. I really do think Walking Dead was in a no-win situation of its own making.
Come on, everybody needs to lighten up a little bit around here.
That's fine, but I don't know. It's fine. I'm having a good time. I'm excited to talk about the podcast.
Why so serious?
I'm excited to talk about the show on the podcast. I think it'll be fun. It's just worth, calling it like you see it.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes that's how you have to do it.
We will see ultimately where this goes. Walking Dead feedback show, Walking Dead voicemails, send them in. Go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail or TWD@postshowrecaps.com. We'll be getting into that probably around Tuesday or Wednesday this week. And of course, we will then be back next Sunday night for more Walking Dead after episode number 2 of season 7, Josh.
Yeah, and we will be at the normal time at that point, so we'll be all set for that. So thanks, everybody who was watching this live and stayed up late. Really appreciate you guys being
300
patient.
People live here on the, it's after, midnight on the East Coast. So thank you, guys.
Great turnout. Love that.
Okay.
Great.
Turn out to be nice. All right. All right. Turn out to be Negan. Josh, what's the hashtag? Peak amputations?
Axe patrol? Take your pick. I think Axe Patrol is probably easier to write out. Any better suggestions in the chat room that you can see?
Let's see. Walking Dead OTT.
Was this over the top? Yeah. Feels like it was a little over the
hashtag
top.
Hashtag Princess Daryl.
Princess Daryl. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Let's just go with Axe Patrol. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on postshowrecaps.com. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Thanks so much, Alex Kidwell, behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.